Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Hello, this is Gwyneth Isaac speaking here, keeping this chair warm for Vincent Fennelli. He's busy doing some farm work today, just getting caught up on the last few things just before the winter really sets in. And, yeah, we're talking today about how you live in a really, really impoverished set of circumstances. And this was a situation that I suspect a lot of people in the class either are going through at the moment or they will be very, very soon. And I had a period of time of about 2 months a number of years ago when I was homeless with my two young sons. At the time, they were young. Now they are not, you know, they're young men now. So, but at the time, they were boys. And, you know, so I had the added responsibility. So it wasn't just me, myself, homeless. It was me, myself, homeless, looking after two young children. And that is a circumstance that I would not wish on anyone. But we got through it. And through a particular set of events, I managed to find my way into a trailer park, which was quite a nice trailer park, actually. But following that, I was able to buy the farm that I'm now living on. And when I left the place where I was, I actually owned my own home. And it was a really bad set of circumstances that I was leaving, but I did own my own home there outright, and it was really hard to have to leave it. It was probably one of the toughest decisions I've ever made, but I sold that home, and from the proceeds of that sale, I was able to buy the farm that I'm on now. And one of the big lessons from being homeless to having 20 acres of land with a house on it was really quite amazing. And this wasn't the first time that I'd owned a farm. I did have a farm earlier on, which I sold stupidly sold to buy the house in the suburbs. Never should have done that, but anyway, that doesn't matter. To go from being homeless to being in a trailer park for, you know, a month or two, to then moving on to this 20-acre farm was really quite amazing at the time. And one thing that really stuck out when we moved on to this place was the comparative abundance of resources, okay? That I actually had this two bedroom house, which was my house, which was kind of neat. And it was a mud brick house, and it was kind of old. It's still kind of old, and it's not a flash house by any stretch of the imagination. But I was able to begin making it home, and I was able to recover from the trauma of all of the things that had happened before. I had a 17,500 litre tank and I had money left over from the sale of my house. So I bought an additional 22,500-litre tank, which meant that I now have 40,000 litres of water storage. And that gets us through. So, because sometimes it doesn't rain here for 5 or 6 months at a time. And I knew that because I knew what it was to live in semi-arid Australia, because I'd lived homeless in arid Australia for the last couple of months before that. Arid and semi-arid Australia at various places. You know, camping my way with my two sons across the Nullarbor. That's basically how we did it, with it was a one-ton camper van. But yeah, this was it. And I used some of the money that I had left over to buy a second-hand off-the-grid solar electrical supply, because the house had a generator that the seller said that they wanted their generator back, that was not included in the terms of the sale, but that they would give me a little while to find other, you know, to find other electrical solutions. So it was just, it was by the hand of God that this second-hand solar electric system came on the market, together with nickel-ion battery. And this is it. It was so, but for maybe the first 6 months of living in this house, we had very little electricity. I don't think we had any electricity because I didn't know how the nickel-ion system worked. I had no idea how to put it together. And it was a real, it was a very, very steep learning curve. And I eventually was able to contact an electrician who knew about off-grid solar power systems, and he was able to tell me what to do, what all the different components were. But even without the solar power system put together, you know, just basically having it there in bits for about 6 months and not really knowing what to do with it, it was still much better than living homeless out in the middle of nowhere. And eventually I was able to put the solar power system together. I got it up and running. And it was the most amazing feeling to put it all together, to turn it on, and to actually have electric light at night for the first time in a very long time. That was quite amazing. And it's something I will never really forget, you know. This farm had been abandoned for, you know, quite some time, and it had changed hands about six times in the previous 10 years prior to me buying it. So it had a lot of things on it that were run down, and I've gradually been fixing them and fixing them and fixing them and fixing them. And it's a thing of keeping yourself busy. Now, when people come to the farm, they notice the changes. They notice the fencing, especially if they haven't seen me in a while. And inevitably what they say is, wow, you have been busy. And I say, yes, I know. Because there's sensors, there's water tanks, there's a solar power system put together. That was, like I said, that happened about 6 months after we moved in. But nevertheless, it was an achievement at the time. There's been, you know, dams put in, new dams put in that weren't here before. There's gravity pressure tanks up on towers. So when I moved in here, they had the tower for the gravity pressure tank, so you pump water up into the tank and it gravity feeds through the pipes of the house. And in most off-grid, or in many older off-grid systems where you have an off-grid water supply, that's often how how you get pressure in the pipes. The other solution is to have a pressure pump. But that uses electrical current all the time, and I wasn't happy to use electrical current all the time because I knew that electrical current was something that was kind of a precious commodity here. But that's it. To have gone from being homeless to being in a home, in a very basic set of circumstances, and having to build your life from there. And like I said, now it's still a very hard life. We heat our house with wood, and I generally have to get either myself or my son. My younger son is still at home. My older son has left home. He's the man now. He's, you know, got a job and all the rest of it. So usually either me or my younger son or both of us, we go out and we have to get, this is another question that came up, how much wood? For us, we would use between one and three produce boxes of wood. This is the banana boxes. They'd be about 2 feet long by about 18 inches wide by about 18 inches deep. You get them from the grocery store. They're often wax-coated greengrocers produce boxes. We would use between one and three of those a day, depending on the time of year and what we're doing. And, you know, that has to be chopped every single day. And we don't really store wood here because we live in such a semi-arid climate. In a eucalyptus forest of 20 acres, that any time we need wood, we just go up into the forest and we get wood. And the wood, because eucalyptus trees have this habit of dropping branches, okay, the branches, they get to a certain age and they just drop them off the side of the trees, so you don't go up in the eucalyptus forest during a high wind. So if you know there's a high wind coming, then you get all your wood ahead of time. But it's always dry. And eucalyptus wood tends to have low moisture levels, and it tends to have high oil and resin content. And so even if it's quite green, it still burns well. But it's quite hard. And it's quite dry. So even if it has been raining for quite some time, you know, the outside of the wood will be wet, but the inside is basically never waterlogged. That's our environment. So we don't need to have vast piles of seasoned wood because it's just there in the forest all the time anyway. This is it. But I believe that living for that season as a homeless person prepared me for moving on to this place and really made me appreciate it. It helped to give me the skills to properly develop it, because so much of what I've developed on this place has come through what I've been able to forage from the surrounding landscape. And I can hear the music again, and so I think we're heading into another break. I'll talk to you all again in a few minutes.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
10. Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Hello, this is Gwyneth Isaac speaking here, keeping the chair warm for Vincent. He has some farm work to do today. And we're discussing what it was like for me to go from being a homeless person with my two young sons at the time. They're not young sons anymore. They're grown men now. But, you know, what it was like to then transition to being on my own farm. And I found that I had this, you know, after moving on to the farm, I found that I always had my eyes open. I was always foraging, okay? I think that that was a habit that I developed when I was homeless, because when you're homeless and you see something that could be useful, you pick it up and you take it back to your camp. And because this object that you think could be useful, it could be the difference between life and death down the track. And it's an unfortunate thing. That's why a lot of homeless camps end up just looking really, really cluttered and messy, because, the people, they develop this habit of foraging, and I still have the habit of foraging. You know, I can scarcely bear to throw anything out. Of course, things have to be thrown out, and I do get to go through phases of just purging stuff. I'm thinking, wow, gee, I'll just have to get a dumpster in and just, do the dumpster thing. And, in my life, once or twice, I have done that. And I've had a couple of periods of homelessness and then moving back into houses and onto farms and all of that. But But like I say, this is it. Foraging. I found that at the time I had a one-ton farm truck, and I'd be driving around and I would see a patch of useful plants. And so I would stop. Like a favorite useful plant of mine is Agave Americana. Okay? And Agave Americana is such a useful plant because you plant it around the boundaries of your property and it stops people from just jumping over your fence in the middle of the night. And, you know, they get a bit of a surprise if they do. But as well as that, the leaves contain a very, very strong fiber. And they make a very excellent rope. And as well as that, the young leaves, you can dice them up and you can eat them. You can fry them up and you can eat them. And the Aztecs in Mexico and the other tribes in Mexico have known, and also the southwest of the United States where agaves come from originally, have known about the edibility of young agave leaves for many thousands of years. And it's starchy, but it's quite filling, nourishing food. And you can spice it up with a lot of other interesting foods. My sons don't much like it, so I hardly ever cook it. But it's something that's there. And agave, for that and other reasons, is a very, very useful plant. So, you know, a few times when shortly after I'd moved onto this place, I would go to a local agave patch and I would just spend several hours just filling up the tray of my farm truck with agave suckers, you know, agave pups, as they're called. That's what I would do. And, I would have friends give me, vast quantities of various succulents, and they would be clearing out their cactus gardens, and they would just say, hey, you want to have, maybe 30, 40, 50 little cactuses? And I'd say, yeah, sure. I'd take them home and I'd plant them. And I think my record is that once I brought home 5,000 or thereabouts small cactuses and put them in the tray of the ute. But they were in pots. They were in big clumps. But I worked it out. That's how many were there. Yep.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight. And nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
How many votes would it take to overturn the presidential election? 81,660 in Pennsylvania. Would a semi-truck with 24 pallets of filled-in ballots change the results? Probably so. How about those ballots being shipped from New York State to Pennsylvania on election night?
I know I saw ballots with return addresses filled out, loaded onto my trailer in New York and headed for Pennsylvania. And wondered why I was driving complete ballots from New York to Pennsylvania.
100,000 ballots were missing, and that only 7 or 8 were found at UMS. Based on my previous experience, I believe that to be a lie.
Whistleblower's first-hand testimony came forward as part of the Amistad Project investigation. It was first presented to Americans Tuesday night. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Georgia officials investigating voter registration group claim some are attempting to register non-residents to vote in January's Senate runoff elections. USA Radio News' Val Dior has the details.
The Georgia Secretary of State announced that a voter registration group is under investigation for allegedly sending ballot applications to non-residents. That group was led by Georgia Democratic Senate candidate Raphael Warnock until earlier this year. The New Georgia Project is one of four voter sign-up groups being probed. The announcement comes as Democrats have praised Brad Raffensperger, a Republican, for pushing back against President Trump's allegations of election fraud. Warnock is engaged in a heated race that could determine party control of the Senate and has dismissed past investigations of voter fraud as alarmist. While Raffensperger said he's not seen indications of systemic fraud, he said there is evidence of third-party groups working to register people in other states to vote in Georgia, adding that the New Georgia Project sent voter registration applications to New York City in a potential violation of state law. From the Texas USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
Georgia has reported more than 940,000 absentee ballots have been requested. Students from across the United States will have an opportunity this week to hear from NASA astronaut Victor Glover aboard the International Space Station. The Earth to Space call will air live just before 1 p.m. Eastern, Thursday, December 3rd, on NASA television and the agency's website. Glover served as a pilot and second-in-command on Crew 1 SpaceX Crew Dragon, and this is his first long-duration mission aboard the station. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Hello, Isaac speaking here, keeping the chair warm for Vincent today. I'm just discussing, how it was for me when I transitioned from being a homeless person to living in a trailer park for a short time, to then, moving on to my current 20-acre farm. And I was mentioning about how I would have friends. I found that I was able to make friends where I, in the area that I moved to. This was through the local church, but it was also just through, as I recovered from the trauma of all the things that had happened, which I'm not going to go into today. I just found that I began to connect with people within my local community. And one of the things that I found a number of people did was they gave me cactuses. And sometimes I would get 100 or more cactuses at a time given to me by people who just wanted to help me out. And these would be a Punthia ficus indica, and they would be various species of agaves. And they would be, you know, there's a cactus called Echinopsis, which is a little hedgehog-shaped cactus. I think it's called the Christmas lily cactus. And, you know, but there's all these different types of cactuses and succulents as well. And at the time I got them and I, you know, and as well as that, I'd be out and about driving and I would just see big patches of cactuses just growing in the forest, and I would stop and I would just dig them up and put them in the back of the ute and then take them home. And that wasn't a problem because these are regarded as being something of a nuisance here in Australia when they're on roadside verges and such places. And that's the other one that I grow a lot of is the organ pipe cactus. what is it? Sirius cactus, and it's spelled C-E-R-E-U-S. And so I would find that I would be getting all these cactuses. I took them home and I planted them, after I planted them, I went on the internet and I began to research what I had. And I found that they were edible, they were fruit-bearing, they were good for fiber, you know, that they were good for the soil. Of course I knew that the ficus indica, prickly pear, was a very excellent eating cactus. But there are other sorts of opuntias as well, and I learned that they all had edible fruit. And, you know, this was it. And as I speak, I've just finished processing a batch of other type of opuntia that I have growing on my land, that I planted on my land. And, you know, putting some stevia leaves in with it and making quite a nice syrup, which my son and I will eat over the next couple of days with our breakfast cereal. And, this is it. I found that all this activity was therapeutic. And not only that, planting the cactuses, nurturing them into life, seeing them grow, seeing them produce fruit in abundance, fruit that was a resource that I could eat myself, that would help with my, you know, that I could make into preserves and into jams and chutneys and other sorts of preserves. You know, that helped with the food, that really were a big help with the food supply here. Not only that, and then the skins can feed the chickens and, you know, all of this sort of thing. It's therapy. It's absolutely wonderful to nurture something like that into life. It has helped me to recover and to maybe be some of the person that I used to be, except maybe even better, because now, having gone through this whole process, one thing that I would say that's really different about me is I am a lot tougher. And this is it. You've got to realize that everything in life happens for a purpose. And even the utterly horrible stuff doesn't have to destroy you. If you take that as an opportunity to toughen up and push through, it's okay to cry. It's okay to even be a little bit despairing. But at the end of the day, what you have to do is you have to get on your knees and you have to pray to God and you have to ask for help. And then you have to get up and you have to start doing something. That's my best advice that I can give to anybody who is facing an extremely impoverished set of circumstances. And maybe you haven't got a bunch of land at your disposal. But what you can do is you can go out in your local area and you can start to forage in public spaces. And you can go on the internet and you can research what wild edible plant in your area. And you might even be surprised with what you come across. You might come across an old fruit orchard growing on some neglected land quite near your farm. And if it's growing there, if it's obviously not being looked after for many, 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 many years, you know, and if you have, if you cannot possibly find the owner, then, you know, I'm not saying to go and take the fruit off of an obviously looked after orchard, okay? That would just be flat out wrong. If you can see that the orchard is being looked after, that's somebody's livelihood. They're depending on that fruit to go and sell it to make a living for themselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you get abandoned homesteads with the house falling down, the fences are a shambles, the weeds are growing a meter high around the trunks. You know, the trees haven't been pruned in 10 years, and yet you go there in season and they're full of apples, for instance. You know, this is it. On that sort of homestead, the fruit's only going to go to waste otherwise, you know. Or you might just find an apple tree growing by the wayside. You might, by the roadside. And, you know, I probably wouldn't normally like to eat fruit from a tree that's grown right on the roadside. But if it's a difference between eating that fruit and starving, then probably it's better to eat the fruit and risk. You know, maybe peel it. Maybe peel the fruit before you eat it instead of starving. This is the sorts of decisions that you make as a homeless person. But, yeah, if you are wandering in bushland or forest, You may be surprised with what you find. You may find a whole patch of a particular herb that you positively identify and you know to be edible, and you can keep going back and you can keep picking it. And that could be the difference between you starving and you not starving. But it's a thing of becoming aware of your surroundings. This is what you have to do, you know. So these are some of the lessons that I learned, and I haven't forgotten them now that I'm on my homestead. The difference is that I planted these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cacti that I were given, and now they are producing food for me. They are improving the soil. Epantias especially absolutely marvelous for the soil. If you look at the soil around the roots of a prickly pear, an opuntia, cactus, any of them, then especially when it starts to rain, the soil immediately around the roots of a prickly pear cactus is always a shade or two darker than the regular soil, because they seem to attract soil microbes and soil fungi and all the little worms and bugs and grubs and all the rest of it that help to make the soil alive. They just do. And they're so beneficial. You can eat the pads, the young pads, or even the older pads, you know, slightly older pads, if you just scrape the prickles off. And then you cut them up and you can put them in a soup. And, or you can fry them, you know. In Mexico, they call this dish nopalito, and they eat it all the time. They consider it a luxury, a delicacy, to have nopalito, which is prickly pear pads. Yeah, it depends, you know. There is Some species of Opuntia have internal spines. You might want to avoid those for eating, you know, but the fruit on them can still be nice. But this is it. And then you've got another plant, another succulent, not a cactus because it doesn't really have spikes, but it's called tree aeonium. It's Aeonium arboreum, okay? And it's sometimes called that there is a dark purple or a black variety, and there's a green variety. Both of them are good to eat. They're called house leek plants. They taste like house leeks, but unlike house leeks, they really thrive in the type of semi-arid climate that I live in. And not only that, rabbits absolutely adore them. They think they are so yummy. And because of that, I've got maybe several hundred Aeonium arboreum plants growing around here. Not all of them are full-sized yet. But I have enough mature Aeoniums to feed my rabbits, which is good because it's highly nourishing. It keeps them in good condition, and they keep growing all summer long. And they grow best of all during the winter, but they produce green stuff, a really, really nourishing food for myself and for my rabbits all the year round. And, of course, there's the, I mentioned the Agave Americana. That's another food that the rabbits enjoy as well, is the agave leaves. Yeah. I can hear the music again. So we're just heading up for the last short segment at the end of the broadcast after the break. And I would just like to close with some encouraging messages to the class out there, especially all the people who might be having a hard time at the moment.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Hello there, this is Gwyneth Isaac. Here, keeping the seat warm for Vincent. This is the last segment, and I just want to, in this last segment, encourage anybody who is facing a really limited set of circumstances to keep your chin up, because it is possible to, it's not the end of your life when your circumstances become more restrictive. Okay, and the key to having a happy and successful life in these sorts of circumstances, that, you know, like maybe there's been a job loss and suddenly you're going from a big fat pay packet to, you know, unemployment benefits or no income at all is even worse. Keep yourself busy. Have a look and see, what your circumstances really are, and see what's going to serve your purposes in the future and what isn't going to serve your purposes in the future, okay? If you can reduce your outgoings, you should definitely do so. This is it. But the most important thing is see this time as an opportunity rather than as an ending and, you know, oh, woe is me and now I can't do X, Y, or Z anymore, blah, blah, blah. What you can do is you can say, well, I've got my backyard, or, you know, I've got my balcony of my apartment. And, you know, I can't really go out too much anymore, so I'm going to, like I say, if you have an apartment just with a balcony, maybe you could even keep a few rabbits on the balcony, you know, grow some tomatoes, grow some lettuces. Go with what you have and go with, try and keep a positive mind, try and keep a positive attitude. Keep your hands busy and keep your mind busy, keep your spirit busy, and stay positive. Yeah, I know that I've said that about 4 times in the last 5 minutes, but that is the most important thing to realize. And when you go out and about, keep your eyes open. Always be looking for resources that you can use. And because, you know, sometimes you come across the most unusual things and things that can actually be really, really helpful and useful to you. So, yeah, this is what you have to do. The other thing I'd like to say in closing, because I'm aware that we really are at the last few minutes of this broadcast, don't expect things to go back to the way they were. They are not going to go back to the way that they were, ever. So it's just, you know, they're saying on the news media about the new normal and the great reset and all this sort of stuff. A lot of that is, you know, what they're planning and just sort of like that they're getting people ready for a Chinese Mao Zedong type great leap forward, which is not going to be good. And if you do find yourself in an apartment, I would certainly be looking to get out of that apartment and get onto even a small piece of land. Because the more land that you have, the greater your chances are going to be that you're actually going to make it. And I know that Vincent in the past has said that it's almost impossible to live any sort of really self-sufficient life on under 40 acres. I would say because I live in a eucalyptus forest, which is quite an open forest, and then I have basically farmland underneath, you know, grass growing and this sort of thing. So I would say I have 20 acres of woodland, and then I have 20 acres of grassland underneath it. So in seasonal grassland, and, you know, but once again, that's 40 acres. If you can get that, that would be ideal. If you can't, if you can only afford a small piece of land, then you have to make do with what you have. Or if you only have a smaller piece of land, then you will have to be more creative and you'll have to make do with what you have. But like I say, keep optimistic. This is, and treat it as a new beginning. Not as, and don't go into a great sense of grieving of what you have. Because ultimately, at the end of it, we will get through this. And on the other side, I believe that it will be a better world, but not in the way that Bill Gates and Fauci and all the rest of them think it's going to be. Well, this is the end of the broadcast. God bless you all. And I'll see you all next week. I'll see you later.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.